This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We just got resolution there on the Cody Bellinger situation. The Yankees acquired him and cash consideration from the Cubbies for pitcher Cody Poteet, a one-time top prospect who has struggled with consistencies and injuries since his debut in 2021, considered a depth arm. Maybe could still develop into a back-end starter, but there it is. The Yankees get what? Is he at this point a DH first baseman guy there in Cody Bellinger, but still a very good bat?
He's still, I guess they're going to play him at center field and move Aaron Judge back over to right field is what the initial report is right now.
He's had trouble staying healthy as well. So there's our buddy John Heyman on TV.
I think John Heyman's on the TV right now.
Can't believe it.
He's definitely not going to be on WFAN talking about this new Yankees move. That's for sure.
All right, Chief, I'm ready for this. It's a G-Bag Nation Presents. You make the call.
Yes, we have a couple of things here. I did want to start with another legendary Mad Dog Russo rant. Oh, yeah. He's anti-NFL on Christmas. Mad Dog, take it away.
Who the hell can watch an NFL game on Christmas Day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? I can't, and I hate Christmas, but I can't. It's 1 o'clock on Christmas Day, it's Kansas City at Pittsburgh. What, am I going to stick the television set on at 1 o'clock? Sorry, hon, I'll see you later. Open up your gifts, good night. I can't do that. So Kansas City, Pittsburgh is at 1, and Baltimore at Houston is at 4:30, and those are Netflix games. We got to make sure Netflix, some dope in Pakistan, can watch his football game. So that's why they're on earlier in the day, because the time difference makes it a little more conceivable, because now Mahomes is at 9 o'clock in the West, is in Europe. What? So if you live in Paris and you can't get enough of Patrick Mahomes or you're dying to see him, you got to get a break on Christmas night. Have your little French dinner, have your six bottles of wine, and watch Mahomes at 7 o'clock, 6 hour time difference. So you can watch the game there, but we can't watch the game here.
That is
he's old fashioned, you know,
angry, nasally, get off my lawn, Mad Dog Russo.
Yeah, yeah. And growing up, like, there wasn't stuff on TV on Christmas, and I liked it that way. It gave you time to be with your family. But right around early afternoon, if I'm being honest, like, boredom sets in, you know, and I don't like the concept of it, but dang it, I like the fact that they're on, along with the NBA as well. There's a lot of downtime in Christmas. We're more screen-centered than ever. And it's just, you know, it's the latest in that progression away from actual days off where you really unplug. First, it was the Sundays. Now it's Christmas, Chief.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to get to every day of the week here.
They're giving the finger to the NBA.
Yeah, that's
right?
Really, that was my biggest takeaway with all
the NBA.
This.
That used to be their day.
Yeah, NBA on Christmas Day.
Like the TV season starts today.
Yeah, Christmas Day. Felt like, boom, this should be the unofficial start to the NBA season. When they started it after the lockout that day, it was fun, and the NFL says, ha, not so fast. Is there any truth to that stuff? Like, they're starting at noon and 3:30. They always start at those times. That's regular times for football games. I guess, like, the prime time.
I think
window.
He's saying, like, there should
be. You couldn't do a 7 o'clock game?
Yeah, like, just give me one game and make it a prime time game so it's not in the middle of all the Christmas festivities.
They might be trying to get these teams home, or, you know, two of the teams home, you know, in a decent time.
That makes sense.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing this thing.
If
you put them on Christmas night,
yeah,
you don't have the opportunity because you have to go sit in a hotel all day. It might be a thing like, let's get the teams in, play the game, and let's get them back to the facility after that.
Yeah, they're
that would be my guess.
They're trying to, you know, take care of their players, and I love that.
They're really not.
They're trying to abuse them less. But, I mean, who's still open in presence at 1 o'clock?
That's what the text is really reaching into now. Now, I would say by 1 o'clock, no, but we are generally a slower-moving present opening kind of deal. Like in my particular house, I know a lot of people would wake up and you run right to the tree, and by 7:35 a.m. Christmas is come and gone.
Lunch.
We would kind of slow play it and milk it, and I would say by 11:30 in the morning, now presents have been torn into.
Lunch at noon with small kids, you got to go early in the morning with small kids.
You make them wait.
We'll do like some stocking stuff or whatever. But we're going to do the pageantry. We're going to have a huge breakfast.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to read the Christmas story. We're going to get in our feels, and then we'll tear it up at the
lunch
tree.
At noon, presents at 1.
But 1 p.m. is a little crazy. Now, I guess some people are having to go multiple Christmases. I mean, let's not forget how many people have to go, hey, we start in the morning here, then we migrate over to the other side of the family, you know? And so for some, I guess it could be an all-day deal.
But it's been a huge missed opportunity for the NFL. I don't think everybody is at home in their living rooms more than they are on that day all year.
Yeah. Well, Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving's got crazy ratings. So Christmas, be a very similar deal.
Yeah.
Okay, now, but the dopes in Pakistan, I mean, did you guys respect any of the lines that came out of there? Like, he is just being completely out of his mind. Dopes in Pakistan, the drunks in France.
I hate Christmas. He sounded just like the Grinch.
I hate Christmas.
He just like the Grinch.
Yeah, I think he just had some problems with the geography there.
I think he's just ticked because his wife appreciates Christmas in a huge way, and that's supposed to be an all-day, it's Christmas, it's family, it's holiday, and he's like, I want to be able to watch Pat Mahomes, but I'm not going to be able to. I don't even like Christmas, but my wife loves it. It's family day. I can't park it on the couch at 1 o'clock.
Well, you know, a lot of those moms, you know, from that baby boomer generation, it's TV off at Sunday dinner or even a weekday dinner. It's you know, we're together as a family. I think he's just, you know, kind of stuck in there, hasn't been able to break that spell.
Can you guys tell me the last time you sat down and had a family meal? I'm not talking about huddling around the TV family meal. Your families. You sat down.
Sit around and talk and look at each other while we eat?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh, probably last week.
You, the missus, and the little one?
Yeah.
Well, and mother-in-law. If you're just talking about like immediate family, like me and my wife and my kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's multiple times a week.
You do that multiple times a week?
Yeah.
Dawson, you got a funny schedule. You don't do it right away.
Yeah, I get home at 9, so they've already eaten and... Sometimes I'll cook a late dinner, but it was literally when I was at my parents' house over the summer.
Yeah. I was just curious how many people TV actually off. Sit down and, like Lucius is talking about, put the phones away and just kind of talk
just
about
look at each other in the face. I don't want to do that. I don't even do that when I go to a restaurant with my girl. We go sit at the bar. Real talk. Like, I don't want to look at you in your face while you eat. We can talk right here.
Gosh, I love watching my wife eat, man. It's the best. All right, G-Bag Nation, you make the call. Have we taken it too far with the emotional support animals after a viral video shows a gentleman bringing his fully grown Great Freaking Dane onto a commercial flight and parking it in a seat there, just flying coach?
He paid the seat for the seat?
I mean, he had to have because his dog had a full seat.
Yeah.
For sure. And this is like, this is a pony sized animal that is marching through. This is
a great Dane.
It's a great damn Dane. Okay.
Yeah, but they're couch dogs. They don't really do much moving around.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously there's plenty of people that are for animals being everywhere at all times. Sure. And then you have the other side. Everybody's going like, what is going on here? This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if that thing does drop a grumper.
Yeah.
Like, who's to say that thing's not going to just take drop a deuce there on the plane?
Well,
like,
the dog or people flying on the plane. You did a story about dudes dropping them on the plane that one time, the poo plane. Remember we did have that
poo plane disaster. Yeah,
maybe a dog better than some human back there in the back.
It should be a massive fine. You know, I'm thinking enough to give everybody on that plane at least $20.
Yeah. A fine?
Yeah, if you take a dog on a plane and it poops.
That's his emotional support animal.
That's fine.
Can you get a smaller
then you're
one?
Spend a lot of quality
time. Do I
have
to get a smaller emotional support animal?
Yeah, like for the plane.
The Great Dane supports me.
Yeah.
The little chihuahua don't support me.
You can fly private, you know. There's price for everything.
I can't fly private, fam. I work at McDonald's.
Can afford this.
I mean, I think the airlines does a tremendous job at monetizing everything, right? As we're waiting there in line for 40 minutes and we watch the rich people walk in front of us constantly, there is precedent being set that there's different prices. And, you know, if I get it, you know. You need an emotional support animal. So if you can't agree to our rules that respect the other paying customers' rights to not have dog poop on their plane, then maybe you shouldn't fly. That's the way I look at it.
But he was on the plane, so that means he's a well-behaved dog. Hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully.
And that's all I'm saying. Hopefully. If you got a well-behaved dog, I have no problem with you on there.
Now, if you got a nut of a a dog, then it's not an emotional support animal. Got
to be consequences for it. Big fines.
Emotional support animals trained properly.
I'm just assuming the emotional support animals are trained properly. I guess the issue here would be the allergy risk, right? Like, what if you have somebody on the flight? You have to check that everybody is not allergic to a dog. What if you had a passenger that was?
I hadn't even considered that. I was just really just the size of this thing.
I kind of am okay with the dogs everywhere, but the restaurants. That's where
it's like outdoor, like patio deal.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Just around food.
Patio's
just around food.
Oh, fight.
I like
maybe.
My dog on the patios too. Bryce would be mad at me.
I knew I was going to make some.
Katie
mad.
Trail Ice House. I'll take my dog.
You know, it's fine. Like I say, every other place, but just around my food.
It's like no grocery stores. That's kind of. We just got a text about that.
Yeah, that's the only place. But man, people with dogs, hey, all for you. I don't have one, but I mean, if you want to bring one on a plane and you pay for the seat, I can't say anything. That's between you and the airline.
it's crazy seeing the size of an animal as big as a Great Dane walking.
But he's a support animal.
I mean, that's a wild deal. Where do you draw the line? Is there a line that can be drawn here?
Well short of the Great Dane.
Yeah, well short of the Great Dane. I think
he's trolling us with the Great Dane. I think he's trolling
us. He's just showing, like, look how insane all of this is. Yeah, I can bring my freaking Great Dane. Yeah. So who's to say for the next person, if they have their little pony, who's to say they can't bring their pony onto the plane? Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Those mini ponies are shorter than a Great Dane by quite a bit.
Yeah.
SMU pony.
Okay, football or ball sack on this, because I believe this is football, but my goodness, dude. We go to Texas Tech's now former, I believe he's with the Aggies now.
Yeah, Micah Hudson.
Micah Hudson, and he was a sought-after receiver, and in year one with the Red Raiders, he accounted for 8 catches, 123 yards, and 0 touchdowns. So he hits the portal. He is now landing in College Station. But the alleged NIL deal is pretty interesting.
Is it big money?
Shipley's Donuts?
It's not even that the money's big, yes, but it's just all the other things. So this dude, again, who has 8 more catches and 0 more touchdowns than you and me in college football, he's getting a $700K minimum wire up front for a 1-year deal. Then separate NIL deal for 3 cars for family members to sign immediately. Personal driver with Cadillac SUV for the player from spring practice through the end of the season. Family hotel and travel arrangements paid each game with up to 10 members to have travel tickets and costs paid for. And then medical injury, time off, and playing after injury determined only by Micah and his family.
Mm.
So these are some of the stipulations. I was like, man, I didn't know it got like this. You know, the money makes plenty of sense. All the other stuff, I'm like, wow, dude. And I guess the Aggies capitulated on all of it. They're like, sure, bro. Well, you'll have a full-time chauffeur in a Cadillac SUV from spring to the end of the season. And when you get banged up, it's up to you when you come back. I mean, player empowerment. We're at the height of it.
Yeah, I don't think
8 catches and no touchdowns to his name.
That offer is going to be significantly less for next year, right? I think that's why you got to negotiate in the front end for all those guarantees, especially coming out of high school where so many of these high prospects bust.
Good on him, man. Yeah. I mean, to be able to get all that, family members, you got there. I mean, 3 cars for family members, getting it done.
That's
MVP of the family.
If you were a program, would you rather give the kid money or go through everything that Eric just read?
It sounds like you got to do
that's
both.
Just phone calls.
Money.
You know?
I mean, you could do one or the other. You can give the kid $750,000 or you could do all the things with the travel stuff.
I'm sure it's program to program. Most of these programs, it's nothing for them to spit out $750K, and then I don't have to deal with just all the pain of the logistics of all that other stuff.
I would rather just give the kid the money, the total cost of what that's going to That to me is going to be a bigger headache. Something is not going to go right.
Oh yeah,
with this.
I can't manage
and
that.
And now I have all these players wanting potentially that deal. Mm-hmm. Just I would add it all up and just give you the money so I don't have to deal with your parents' travel and your family travel.
But a lot of those perks work with me here. We buy 12 SUV Escalades. We're running these kids around campus all day. Yeah. Now they get to tell somebody they have a personal driver. Maybe that only costs us $12,000 per kid, but they see it as a much more bigger
value.
Save
the kid parking tickets for sure.
Yeah. I'm flexible. I think this is an arms race for talent, and the more creative, the more things that you can offer. But you got to get a staff to run all that stuff because you can't put that on a coaching staff's plate. Forget about that.
But imagine if this guy's able to do this, and I'm sure he projects to be awesome, but like there's nothing to his on-field stuff right now that really tells you that in his 1 year at Texas Tech. Imagine what whatever the number one most sought after quarterback in the portal, like what that guy is going to be able to ask for. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty badass.
This is a ball sacking.
Well, that's why I asked, football or ball sack?
I'm going ball sack.
I'm going butt crack.
I like that.
I'm going kicking the junk if I'm in the athletic department. That sounds to me, the kind of work I used to do, that sounds like an absolute nightmare.
That's a lot of
leg. And I used to have to do with I used to have to do with parents' tickets.
Fun.
And that is no fun. Because what happens is the players forget to submit names, and now you have to do this, and they bring an uncle, and uncle's showing up, and aunt. And it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
We'll have a conversation with Mark Schlereth coming up at 4:40, our Odyssey NFL insider. Wolchuk's top 10 at 4:20 is coming up next. And where are you taking us, buddy?
Okay, I think maybe three of us on the show have watched the Joker sequel over the course of the weekend. The top 10 worst movie sequels of all time. And was this movie actually that bad? That's next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 4:20. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com, and let's go to Zach with an H or Wooly Bully.
All right, what is, do you think, the worst sequel of all time? 877-881-1053. I've got the top 10 movie sequels that really hurt the original's reputation. And this is after, on Max, thank you to Lucius, because when you were talking to us on Friday during LA Live, you mentioned, the new Joker movie's dropping on Max.
Yeah.
Ended up watching it. And I know Gavin did. I wonder what you thought about it, Lucius. I had to watch this in two different parts. About 50 minutes in, I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't think I can do this. And then Gavin texted me last night and said, dude, just forward the singing parts. It actually gets pretty good.
The movie is great until they start singing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I felt the exact same way.
Yeah.
I'm like, anything about this movie where it's a court scene and it's actually dialogue-driven and we're getting back to the characters here is actually entertaining.
Yep. Yeah.
But the random, now we're going to stop, and they're now in choreographed costumes and we're dancing and singing, just was like, what the bleep is going on here?
His court re-examination, his first main scene as his own guy, was insanely hilarious and entertaining. I thought it was one of the best scenes, and when he returns to the prison, I mean, there's just some great scenes that I think provide invaluable backstory and conclusion to what the Joker story arc is all about. But after a Sunday night where I watched the first half of the movie and the songs were just beating me down, I kept thinking they would be like 20-second little breaks, but they kept going on for the whole deal.
They were long.
I go back last night, fast-forwarding through the singing, and it was, much better.
Yeah.
I think... Sorry to interrupt you, Lucius.
No, you're good, bro.
I do think what we're seeing, though, and I think you'll appreciate this, is this is why Hollywood doesn't take risks. You know, this is why they don't do art. That was more art than entertainment.
Yeah, they should never do that again. No, that's all I'm saying. They should never do that again. And when you're talking about the musical parts, I don't like it because as soon as a point is made in the movie, here comes a song.
Yes.
God dog it, man.
It was like, I'm now invested again, and then boom, song and dance.
Oh, we got to make a point.
Stop. Like, what happened? Yeah. We think, we got Lady Gaga to play Harley Quinn. We got to sing. We got to incorporate some song. There's a lot of people that have said this was an FU.
I'm in the courtroom defending myself.
What are we doing? Todd Phillips, the director, didn't want to do a sequel, and the studio made him because the first one made so much money with $1 billion. This was his, FU to Hollywood. Maybe that had something to do with it, but it lost like $150 million.
Yeah, that's why they're selling Batmobiles now.
Mm. Bad.
Get that money back.
It totally bombed. It wasn't, I mean, I guess my expectations were like rock bottom, like this is going to be the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that, right? Like they're, as Gavin said, there's some redeeming qualities and scenes that were pretty good.
It's a damn good movie. As long as they're not singing.
We need to cut the songs out.
But right when I thought we were really getting started, it was too close to the end for me. You know, I wanted more, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you spent 45 minutes of singing, which made no sense. No. We didn't need this. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the top 10 movie sequels then that really hurt the original. 877-881-1053. The Sandlot 2 has been texted in. Mm. I don't know that I even saw it.
I didn't even know they did that.
I didn't either. Oh, Space Jam 2.
Your ball wasn't in my yard.
I'll tell you what, growing up, the original Jaws was so good.
Oh my gosh,
and I don't even remember Jaws 2, just that it was a massive disappointment.
Yeah.
Major League 2. I think
Caddyshack 2 was bad.
Might not like that answer. Never Back Down 2. I didn't know they made a sequel to Never Back Down.
I didn't either.
I liked the first
loved
one.
The first one. Yeah, before we knew Amber Heard was... And returned.
Why'd you pull in the bag?
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah, I heard that was awful. I didn't see it.
I didn't either.
That's the ones with Jim Carrey,
yeah,
like
they
the original guys.
Because
what about when they Dumb and Dumberer, when they were like kids and it's different dudes? They go back to like high school together.
Okay, I didn't even see that.
I actually liked that one.
That was
Bob
good.
Saget is in it. That one was actually pretty funny.
Bob Saget gets it. Willy Wonka.
They made about four of those.
Yeah. Alien
Johnny Depp
Predator.
And the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder was the best one.
We just had Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, Chalamet.
Clearly inspired Cam Newton, too.
Yes.
Yeah. He dresses just like he has a chocolate factory now.
He does. Absolutely does.
I would agree. The 682, The Hangovers 2 and 3, like they progressively got worse. Like the first one's so damn good.
Right.
Second one was like, okay. Third one, not very good at all. Fast and Furious, all of them. Texted
in. Joe Dirt, too. I didn't even know there was a Joe Dirt, too.
Either. Jaws 2 was good. Jaws 3 was terrible. We got Home Alone 3 being texted in. Quite a few.
Home Alone 3 was awesome.
I think I liked it as a kid as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time.
If I were to go back and watch it now. Yeah.
Goofy.
I don't know.
It's Max Keeble, right?
It was Max Keeble. Yeah, Max Keeble's big movie as a kid.
He did a great job in that movie.
I think Scarlett Johansson's the sister in that,
yes,
too.
Yes, she is. Yeah, she's...
Young ScarJo.
Yeah, she was kind of the rebellious, mean older sister.
10 is Joker, Folie à Deux, comes in at number 10.
Blade 2 is a money grab. I still enjoyed it because I love Blade so much.
I didn't see Blade 2, but I saw the first Blade. Jeepers Creepers 2 getting texted in. Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, Speed was just okay.
Shazam, Fury of the Gods. I like the first
Shazam.
I like the first one. It's a DC movie.
Not Kazam.
Okay.
Not Kazam.
Okay, I thought the mythical movie that Sinbad made.
That Loki good. I enjoyed that film. But Shazam Fury of the Gods, not good. 7 is Caddyshack 2, which has been texting quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
6 is Independence Day Resurgence, came out in 2016. That is a terrible movie.
Well, didn't they replace Will Smith's character with Thor's younger brother?
Liam Hemsworth. Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing?
Movie. I don't know, but that movie was bad. 5, we've got Staying Alive. You see that one, Brian? Sequel to Saturday Night Fever?
No, I saw the original Saturday Night Live, though.
I liked Saturday Night Fever, but Staying Alive I actually didn't see. 4, we've got Zoolander 2. And that was a big miss.
See, I didn't even see it. But
love the original.
I heard that one was panned, though. The second one was just like everybody was.
It wasn't good.
Really,
it was really horrible. And I'm really hoping that doesn't happen to Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, that's the next one on deck. That it'll be must watch. But I hope it's not terrible.
We got The Exorcist 2 from 1977. I can't say I ever saw that movie. 2 is Weekend at Bernie's.
I saw the original Exorcist.
Good.
Awesome.
But the second one, I guess the sequel's terrible.
Yeah.
2 is Weekend at Bernie's 2, which I didn't know that there was even a sequel to that. Anybody see the sequel to Weekend at Bernie's?
No. 93? I don't think so. I'm ashamed to admit I've never seen the original.
Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler. I mean, I don't know. This one doesn't look any good.
Sounds like it had potential. That was their prime.
Number 1, though, worst sequel of all time, apparently, is Blues Brothers 2000, which came out in 1998.
No.
The sequel to Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
If you didn't know.
Thank you.
That was Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi.
Yeah.
But I did have Ross come in here and say Baby Geniuses 2 is, and it is, it's rated as one of the worst movies of all time. It's called Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. I saw the original Baby Geniuses as a child. I was like, okay, this is all right. But that movie really is terrible, as was Son of the Mask, was an honorable mention. Mean Girls 2. I didn't know they made a Jingle All the Way 2. They did that with Larry the Cable Guy. Did you see that, Eric?
No,
I did not.
No, and but love the
original.
It's
kind of heartbreaking that that one's bad. And then Jaws, The Revenge, did get some love on here.
816 says, I Am Legend 2 is coming out soon. Hope they don't ruin that.
No, please don't.
I hope they don't ruin Happy Gilmore.
Me too, man.
You know, those
we're getting more and more sequels these days, but
yeah,
it is true. A lot of them just don't live up to the hype.
Because they're scared to take chances over there in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Tech Bros and took it over, bro. How about Coming to America, too? That is downright awful.
Yeah.
It was cool to see everybody from back in the day walk around, you know, being pop up on the screen, but for the most part, it was terrible. They could delete it right now to save Eddie Murphy. You know what I'm saying?
Get rid of it.
Just delete it off the internet. Yeah. Nobody will ever know it's there again, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Yeah. You know, let's just turf him so nobody's legacy has to be soiled. We have a man with a two-time Super Bowl winning legacy, maybe three. Did he get two with Denver, one with Washington? Mark Schlereth.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Two and one.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joins us next in the Nation. Yes, sir. That is the way we do it. Okay, we're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And a good afternoon, Mark. How the heck you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful. Maybe not quite as optimistic as Micah Parsons saying we're just about ready to get the fun started, and it's exciting. They have Tampa, Philly, Washington for the playoffs. Can they do it, Mark?
Well, listen, Tampa's playing pretty good football right now. There's no question about it. And I tell you, I had them a couple weeks ago. And, you know, one of the things that I always think is cool is when you're playing for something bigger than yourself. And, you know, human nature is not necessarily always that way. You know, you're thinking about yourself. You're thinking, like, how many times do you celebrate somebody else's promotion like it's your own promotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to sitting there behind the back of the guy going or the gal going, oh, I deserve that promotion. Those people got lucky, or they don't really work like I work. Or like, sports is the one place, other than raising your kids, where you can celebrate somebody else's success like it's your own. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about sports, right? I celebrated every touchdown. I've never scored a touchdown at any level in my entire life, but I celebrated everyone like I did. And for Tampa, when I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, they had just gotten Mike Evans back. And I was like, so Baker, you know, Mike Evans, he goes, he needs 99.5 yards per game to go over 1,000 for the 11th straight. Like, I didn't even ask the question. And he laid it out for me. And it means nothing to Mike Evans. It means everything to me as a quarterback. It means everything to the offensive line, everything to the play caller. We're going to get him that record. You know, Jerry Rice is the only receiver ever to get 11 straight seasons of 1,000 yards. He can tie Jerry Rice this year. And by the way, he'll be the first ever to do it from his rookie year on. So it's an incredible record, but they are all dialed in. And when you're dialed in like that, man, I tell you what, it's exciting. But what I watched last week, and listen, man, I don't know what was going on in Carolina, but that's the Dallas Cowboy team that I think we expected to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, they absolutely shoved the Carolina defense around. And I did a Carolina game a few weeks ago. Actually, I did Tampa, Carolina a few weeks ago. And a Carolina team that played good, solid defense. And they got shoved around. I mean, like, I just sent a bunch of film clips to my guys, you know, my producer, my director, and my guys that I work with on these games. And it was an embarrassing performance. The Dallas Cowboys absolutely shoved, I mean shoved around the Carolina Panthers defense that had been playing pretty good, to the tune of 7 explosive runs, 6 explosive pass plays. I mean, they shoved them around, and I thought, man, that's the Dallas team that we thought, the way they were going to run the ball. That'll look great. I mean, I just thought it was a really good performance by the Dallas Cowboys.
Sting, I agree with you, and I guess some of the pushback that Cowboy fans will give is, well, it is still Carolina, and maybe they've got a lack of talent. They're not very good. The teams that they've kind of had success against, Cincinnati, bad defense. Having obviously played the sport, I mean, what would your opinion be? Does it matter? Everyone's getting paid in the NFL. These are all pros.
I watched them handle the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Bucs are playing really good football on their playoff team. And so, yeah, you can't play 17, 18 games, you know, on adrenaline. Like, at some point, you got to, you know, put your hand in the dirt, and you got to play football, and you got to defend that dirt. And the Carolina Panthers defensively, over the last about 5 or 6 weeks, just look them up. That, like, they have actually played pretty good football against the Kansas City team. They've played pretty decent football against, you know, I mean, I'll go up and down the teams they've played against. And so I thought defensively they had turned a corner. Do they have elite-level talent? No, they don't. I mean, Horn is a really good player. They've kind of got a patchwork defensive line, but I'm telling you, those guys have played really pretty good football, and they've got Clowney on one edge and DJ Wonnum, who they signed as a free agent on the other edge. They're pretty solid, you know, or they have played pretty solid over the last 5 or 6 weeks, and I've looked at all their games. Again, I don't want to throw shade. I thought the Cowboys just came out offensive line-wise and kicked their ass. And, you know, I haven't seen that. I mean, they haven't done it to anybody else. They've run the ball better the last couple of weeks, but they haven't played like that against other people. And so, you know, it's probably a little bit of both, but I was impressed with the way the Cowboys played.
So, Mark, you talk about the offensive line there, and everything's turned over from Zach Martin. But as you said, a lot of these undrafted guys or third-day pick guys are pushing around a couple of teams here. Would you stay invested with those guys, or did they need to go back to the blue-chip type of prospects that made that great line?
Blue-chip prospect, that doesn't mean anything to me. It's about development. It's about guys, you know, playing together and having continuity. You know, it's always nice to have a blue chip guy in there, right? Whatever. But, you know, again, we get into that, the draft, and we like, hey, man, is there a great offensive lineman that you think is going to play? Yeah, I'll take him. You can't get five of them. I promise you that. You're not going to draft five of them. So you still have to, regardless if you get a blue chip guy or not, you still got to develop them. And, oh, by the way, I've seen quite a few blue-chip guys that aren't worth a squirt of piss. So at every position. So, like, it still has to be developed. But, man, I can work with some of the guys you have. And so, listen, man, that's what I would say is, hey, it's just about coaching, about getting them to play the right techniques. And I think one of the things that we often forget, and I always tell people this, I've got a bunch of just little things that I talk about, but, you know, and I'll just keep it simple and I'll keep it quick. It's the most skilled position in football. Playing offensive line and blocking people is the most skill in football. And, you know, I could play a game of catch with any of you. You know, we could catch the ball. We could throw it back and forth to each other. We could have a lot of fun. If a one-on-one drill broke out, I would whip your ass. And I'm old and broken, but I have a skill that I developed over many, many years. And it hasn't left me. And so, you know, it's one of those things. You're blocking people that are better athletes than you, that are the same size and same strength. And you know what? You think about this. Like, it's the only sport in the world where you're asked to beat a guy that's better than you 65 straight plays, you know, athletically better than you 65 straight plays. If you give up one sack, that guy goes to a Pro Bowl and you're a piece of garbage.
Well,
like, name one other position in any sport where the lesser athletes that is matched up against the better athlete is supposed to win 100% of the battles.
It's insider call.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, no, you're on it.
Brought to you by
Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Yeah, for the record, Stink, I would love to toss the pill around the yard with you, man. That'd be a great time.
Well, I don't know, man. It's got to be a short passing game. My shoulders are wrecked.
That's perfect. How do you look at the NFC now? Has Detroit lost some shine? Are you buying what the Eagles are selling? Maybe the Packers, Vikings? The NFC is pretty interesting right now.
Yeah, they're pretty loaded right now. Obviously, you know, I mean, went back on Breakfast Ball this morning, the show I do on FS1 at 8 a.m. Eastern every morning, and talked about last year after Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions lost to San Francisco in the playoffs, talking about how he addressed the team and said, hey, man, these chances don't come around very often. You may never get this chance again. And, boy, it looks like a self-fulfilling prophecy right now because they've got 13 guys on the defensive side of the ball that have either, like, gone on IR or out for a significant amount of time. Now David Montgomery, it just went out with an injury. At some point, they were my number one team since week one. At some point, you can't overcome that, man. It's the way the league is structured and built. Like, you know, you've got, I call it the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% of the money is taken up by 20% of the players. And 20% of the money is shared through 80% of the other, you know, the players. You pay your superstars in this league. And where you save money, where you create opportunity or space on that cap, is you keep a bunch of backups that aren't worth that can't play. And so when you lose, you know, one or two starters, you can manage that. You start losing 4, 5, 6, look at San Francisco. You start losing that many starters, I'm sorry, you're going to struggle. Because the backups aren't meant to play in this league. They're not good enough. There's a reason they're backups. And you keep guys as opposed – like one of the things that's happened with this last collective bargaining agreement is we've really squeezed out the middle-class player. When I came in the league, every backup we had was an 8-year vet that started for 4 years somewhere. Like, that's the way we did it. And that way, if you had a guy go down, you knew that you had an experienced dude that had a lot of starting under his belt and that was going to come in there and play well. Man, it doesn't exist. That's not how the league is structured anymore. So it makes it tough.
So Kansas City now with the injury to Mahomes, a lot of, you know, tight wins and low scoring out point. Are you still with Kansas City or do you think Buffalo might be the favorite going into the AFC?
Right now, if I had to pick, Buffalo's going to the, you know, Buffalo will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. All things being equal, they got to be healthy, obviously, and all that kind of stuff. But Josh Allen is playing incredible football. You know, so many people said, hey, Buffalo is going to take a big step back because they lost Stephon Diggs and they lost, you know, Gabe Davis and this, that, and the other. And what they ended up doing is saying, hey, man, we're going to become a more balanced offense. We're not going to rely on Josh Allen throwing it every down. We're going to be able to run the ball. You know, Josh is going to run it when we get into the red zone and some of that stuff, but we're going to take some of the weight of a game plan off of his shoulders. And, you know, I've had this conversation with a lot of different offensive play callers, head coaches, coordinators, like the importance of taking the quarterback off the high dive. There are guys like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow sits on the high dive for 65 plays in a row. And I don't know if you've ever stood on a high dive, man, but you get up there, even if it's only 12 feet, it looks like you're a mile up before you hit the water. I mean, it's frightening. And you don't ever take any pressure off that guy. And I'm a big believer, they call them breather plays. I'm a big believer to have a bunch of breather plays in there where the quarterback, one, doesn't have to think and he's not under duress. Just handing it off. Hey, this play is good against anything. Call it and run it. All right, we're going to run 18 handoff force on two. Ready, break. I don't even have to think. I just turn around and hand the ball off. Oh, it's glorious, right? I mean, that's you got to have some of that stuff. All right, I'm running a bubble screen. I don't have to think. I'm just throwing the bubble screen. Throwing the smoke. And, like, those things help you to kind of gather and exhale for a second. Like, that stuff is important. And so, anyhow, that's a belief that I have, and I think it's something that you know that you've got to have, and I think they've done that for Josh Allen this year.
Great stuff as always, Mark. Have an awesome week, and we'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
Thank you, guys. Take care, man.
There he goes, Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. All righty, we got 3 down, 2 to go in addition to the finest coming up next, Chief.
Who's got Coach Gruden feeling nicey this week? We laugh at the Bears' misery and one of the baddest beats of all time next in the nation.